Amen. Y'all keep on standing for a second. Stand on up there for a minute. Lord have mercy. Wow. You know, I kind of... Hey, go ahead and stand up. Y'all try to stay. If you've never stood up in church, just try it for a second. Go ahead and just try it. I want you to try it. You say, well, why do y'all stand up? Now, hold on a second. Do you really think on the day of judgment, you're going to sit there and watch it go on? And, you know, I want to welcome the Holy Spirit in here today. Hey, thanks for showing up today. Y'all give God glory to show up today. You showed up today. Something going to happen today. All right. There's a lot of things to be thankful for. Hey, what about this? Toppers, four in a row. What do you think about that? Well, guess what? God's moving, and if you don't know Jesus, I get to know him soon. Strange things are going on, all right? God doing some great things. I appreciate all of you. I want to have a word of prayer. Now, I know y'all are not, you Hillview regulars, you guests are going to go, oh, that's really nice. But the Hillview regulars are going to go, he ain't never going to do it. We're not going to be long today. See, y'all never believe me. But I want you to get this message today. I want you to get this message today. It's about we as the church and we as followers of Jesus Christ bringing things to life, okay? Bringing things to life. And so I want you to pray in your hearts. Let's prepare to hear a message. You and I are responsible for bringing things to life. We're followers of Jesus Christ. It's the greatest thing that can happen to a human being. And I thank you all for the spirit of worship you've come in here with. Isn't it neat to worship in all kinds of different ways? You know, I don't know about y'all, but I love Southern Gospel. You know, Sheriff, it's going to be hard for me to not go in revival mode today. And I tell you what, I was listening to that Southern Gospel, and I was thinking about what I was going to preach, and the smell of fried chicken just I said, oh, Lord, we're going to have a big time today, all right? Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the church over all things. But, Lord, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you for my brothers that have sung for more than a year or two together and how you have blessed them literally over the decades following Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that what we say in here today is absolute truth. And I thank you for the people that are going to be drawn by grace and going to be saved. And, Lord, I thank you for those of us that are following Jesus. I thank you for the love that's in this room. And I thank you, God, that it can only be made possible in Jesus Christ, that you and you alone bring us to life. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. We are journeying in Acts together. The church is emerging and unfolding. And I want you to get this groove. God is not finished till he's finished. And so since he's not finished, there's never a point of arrival in the church. There's never a time that I'm going to be able to tell you in our lifetime when I look at you all as wonderful saints, wonderful followers of Jesus Christ. And Carrie, I'm never going to be able to say this. I don't get to say this, all right? You've heard this in your life. Game over. We're finished. Okay? I don't get to make that call. You don't get to make that call. Jesus makes the call. Game over. Game finished. It is done. And until then, guess what we got to do? We got to follow. We got to follow. So I want to bless you on some things. Thank you for following Jesus. Thank you for following Jesus. Terry Wicks, my brother in Christ, thank you for following Jesus. Terry, I don't want to pick on you because you're good looking and everything. I ain't going to pick on you. But I'm going to tell you this. I do want to thank you for preaching the sermon I get to preach today a few weeks before I got to it. That God is a God of life. And God wants to bring life into people. Okay? Has everybody got that? Tell me if you're here. Got it?
Got it?
Got it? It's the new amen, all right? Get it? Y'all give me a... Now I'm going to move on, sister. Okay, I'm going to move on, all right? Look here. Now, God wants to bring us to life. That's the kind of God we worship. That's the name of Jesus. That's the Son of God. Once you understand that, you're going to follow Jesus. Make sense? Many of us grew up with a God of rules and regulations and moral tenets and do's and don'ts. I've got good news. That one's not in the New Testament. We made that one up. That's a God according to human understanding. I want a God, I want a God according to God's understanding. I want a God that comes from heaven, not a God that comes out of my mind. I want a God that reigns for all times, not my moment of time. I don't want a God of just history. I want a God that is the beginning and the end, and we have one of those. His name is? Oh, yo. Oh, his name's who?
Jesus.
Hear how sweet that is. Now, what does Jesus do? Would you agree with me that Jesus has a habit of bringing dead things to life? He just likes it, Pat. He likes it. You get around Jesus and you're dead, what could happen to you? Come alive, ask Lazarus. Here's Lazarus. They got him all shut off in a tomb. He's dead. They've wrapped him up. Said there's no hope. It's over. He got too sick. It's impossible. And then you got Jesus messing us up once again. Jesus is always messing stuff up, isn't he, Pastor Don? Here, we fixing to have a funeral, and Jesus wants to have a revival. Huh? What we said was dead, Jesus said, come forth. And here comes Lazarus, waddling out to a new life. Now today, some of y'all are going to waddle out to a new life, but you're going to come to life. Now, we got two rails, if you will, two rails of ministry unfolding in Acts. We've been dealing with Saul, who's now come to make this single confession. Jesus is the Son of... All right. If you want to enter miracles, you must confess, Chris, you do it every day, Jesus, the Son of God. That is a radical confession. True? But now here's what that confession does. It brings people to life. Everlasting. It relieves them of their paralysis and allows them to move in the living. Now, for those of us that are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of you would confess, I am a follower of Jesus. I have repented of my sins. I flow in the blood. Now, I got to ask you a question, Hillview, and I know how you are. I know how you are. You all love drama in this church. Would you agree with me? Y'all, and we all Hilltopper fans. So most of the time, we wait to the fourth quarter to win. Would you agree with me? And I know that when we commissioned you in January and we said we wanted, everybody, remember that, Trish? We were all in a circle around here. We got around across the big globe and we handed out those cards. And we said, we believe that everybody's life that's following Jesus Christ can be used in 2011 to lead one other life to eternal life. Y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? I know y'all are waiting for the fourth quarter, right? Because that'd be about 5,000 baptisms, and we're a little short on that number. See what I'm saying? But I know what y'all are doing. Y'all are waiting to November. And you say, man, in November, we're going to see 4,000 people come to Christ. And then in December, to cap it off, we're going to see another 4,000. That's what y'all been waiting on, right? That you just waiting to that. Listen, I'm serious about this. And the reason some of y'all are shocked at me, you've been in. Oh, come on, sit down. You cool, man. Don't worry about it. Hey, run over me. Just don't hit me, all right? Watch this. Look at here. Now, some of y'all get aggravated at me because I hold you to scripture accountability. Now, I'm not going to get ugly with you because I know that you've grown up in churches that hold you accountable to nothing. As long as you'll show up and listen to the preacher and give a nickel, they tell you you're faithful. Bull. Jesus said, go ye therefore and use your life to bring life. Go ye therefore and tell them who I am. Go ye therefore, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and go tell them. Go tell them. Go tell them. Go tell them. The rhythm of the New Testament. Go live it. Go tell it. Go show it. Go be it. That's the rhythm of New Testament believers. And we happen to be New Testament believers. Now, if you won't sit there and stare at the Ten Commandments, don't eat any bacon in the morning. But if you're a bacon eater, you better be under grace, okay? You better be in grease and under grace, okay? Look at here. You better be on with God, amen? Now let's look at Acts. Now Peter's ministry is emerging. We got Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul. That's one track of ministry. And Nora, he's going to go tell who? The Gentiles. How many of y'all glad? Mama T, aren't you glad God said, go get those Gentiles? Because me and you would have been out of luck if he didn't say what? Go tell the Gentiles. Any of y'all in this room glad he said, go tell the Gentiles? Yeah, now you need to understand something. The Jews, they pretty much a unified group, you know. But the Gentiles, they like Baskin Robbins. They got more flavors. They got different colors. They got different traditions. But what brings them all together? Jesus, the Son of God. That's a radical statement. Y'all say, well, it's not that radical. Good, go say it in the mosque. If it's not radical, just go over to Morgantown Road and say, Mr. Imam, sir, can I come in today in your tolerant religion, your peace-loving religion, and stand up in your podium and declare Jesus, the Son of God, kumbaya. Who wants to go do it? I appoint Pastor Mark. Because at least he'd be gentle about it. Would they agree with him? Would they scream? Now, what if I went to the mosque or I went to the Buddhist temple or I went to the, you know, Hindu deal and I said, Jesus, a good teacher. They'd go, cool. Let's discuss. You know, we get some of that hookah stuff and we discuss the teachings of Jesus. And we talk about how religiously it's a good thing and that God's a God of love and peace and joy and serenity and new expectations and new happenings. We could discuss that and everybody'd get along, but that's not what's going on in Acts. In Acts, the Son of God is coming, bringing new life. That was dead, what? Lives. Okay, so there's two things. We got to move. To come to life, we got to what? Move. Let me tell you what Peter does. Peter's on his way. Look at this. Simple things in Scripture we overlook. Look at this. Don, now watch this. We talked about this Thursday night. You ready? We overlook this stuff. Look at here. Peter, guess what? He's traveling. He's what? Somebody tell me. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydia. What is Peter doing? Oh, y'all are weak this morning. Lord have mercy. I'm going to have to start calling you the first, third, or fourth. Okay, watch it. He was what? Traveling. How many of y'all going to travel this week? Wake up. I know some of y'all are used to those sitting chair, stair churches instead of these move and go churches. How many of y'all going to travel? How many, as soon as I get done with this service, you traveling? You on your way to your favorite restaurant. And that's all we're going to say about it, or you'll start thinking about food and miss this message. You're going to be traveling. You're going to travel this evening. In the morning, how many of y'all going to travel? Sheriff, what do you do basically all week long? That's about it. Sheriff's the only man I know can eat breakfast at five different locations. Wherever you go, the resident said, Sheriff just been by here. And I said, we've elected him to eat. So if you ever want to know where the good food is in Bowling Green, Sheriff can tell you. What a job. He travels through. Red, what are you going to be doing this afternoon? Traveling where? To Georgetown College, where you're doing what? That's a good answer. He's traveling back to Georgetown College where he's doing schoolwork. So now here's what I'm telling you. Listen, as we're about our business, as we're about our travel, life should come from us. How many of y'all people, they're scared of you when you get in that minute mark? You stop at that IGA crossroads and you put them on a crossroad. You walk in for your morning cup of coffee and they go, there's a man, there's a woman that knows Jesus is the Son of what? You ought to bring life in the morning. You ought to bring life in the afternoon. How many of you, wherever you work, some people actually enjoy working with you? How many of y'all, if you get this, you're doing what God, oh, here they come, instead of, oh, here they come. How many of y'all are a joy because you bring life? Now look, Peter's going to bring life. He's going to bring life. Ananias or Onesimus is in a situation. He's paralyzed and Peter's on his way. He meets difficulty on his way. And there he found a man named, I'm going to say Ananias because that's the way I used to say it. Or Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for what? 8 years. Guess what the world had said? The world had said, in this man's life, it's impossible for him to what? He can't move. How many of y'all meet some people that can't move? Me too. How many of y'all can't move sometimes? How many of y'all get so caught up in what's going on with you, you can't move forward with what God wants you to do? It happens to all of us. Let's not point fingers at anybody, because it happens to all of us. We get locked up. What is locked up? Paralyzed. Paralyzed. We don't want to move. Well, guess what Peter's going to do? Peter is going to bring Jesus, the Son of God, into a impossible situation where the world says it won't move. See, I'm tired of hearing people tell me what Jesus can't do. And I want to wake you all up to this reality. Jesus can do anything. Jesus can save anybody. Jesus can bring to life anything. How do I know that? Bobby, it is not coincidental that you're here today. What did they say about this church a few years ago? It was what? Dead. That's the word to use. Hillview Heights Baptist Church has died. I mean, the pastors from Nashville who work at the Southern Baptist Convention Conference Center said there's no way it can grow. So if they say it, it must be so. I love doing conferences in Nashville. Because some of the experts are still living. And every time they say something, I go, yeah, I know what you said last time. It's not about what I say. And it's not about what you say. Well, what could Jesus say into the situation? See, when I see a paralyzed person, Brent, guess what I see? A paralyzed person. True, wouldn't you? I mean, I can't fix that. Hello, I can't. How many of y'all got some stuff you just can't fix? Husbands, like your wife, you can't fix that. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You can't fix that. Am I not telling the truth? The reason a lot of y'all have miserable marriages is because you're trying to fix each other. Say, Lord, fix her. And you know what the Lord usually does when I say something foolish like that? He fixes me. Then the Lord will start saying stuff like, you need ears that can hear what your wife says to you. Oh, Jesus. She's telling you the truth. And you're not what? Yeah. This man paralyzed, man, been that way for 8 years. Would you tell me that Scripture says he's been paralyzed for 8 years because they want you to know this is no accident. The young man does not have a cramp in his leg. That's what they're trying to tell you in the Scripture. This man is determined, unfixable. How many of y'all think you're unfixable? You know, I mean, people told you, you know, it'll never happen to you. It's never changed. It's never go. You know, I get so tired of everybody telling me they born that way. I'm born this way. I got to sin this way. Baloney. You need to be reborn, changed into the glory of God. That's the hope of every one of us. Amen. If you're a pastor, Steve, you don't understand me. Medical community told me I have the disease alcoholism. I said, you got the Son of God that can deliver you on a daily basis. What about that guy? What about that testimony? What about that reality? You say, you mean if I let God unlock me, I don't have to? Absolutely. Isn't that cool? So how do you know this works? Ask Lazarus. Come forth. Now, guess what? Peter, he's a pretty smart guy. He had been to Jesus school. How many of y'all need to go to Jesus school? And you know what Peter did? He was so crazy, he just did what Jesus did. When he saw a paralyzed person, guess what? He saw the hope of Christ that might walk. So here's what he did. He went over to him. And I'm going to tell you what he did. Ananias, he said to him, look what he did. He told him to get up, roll up his mat, and guess what? Walk. Is that not crazy? Ananias, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. And immediately, what happened? Ananias, what? How many of y'all need to get up today? Guess what? Some of you all were brought here today because you need to hear the hope of God. You can be saved. And you're going, Pastor Steve, you don't understand what I've done. Yes, I do. You've sinned against God. Hey, y'all just tell each other, Tell each other that you've sinned so everybody will know we're all sinners in here. Go ahead and confess it. Come on. I've sinned. Robert, have you sinned? I've sinned. Pastor Don, have you sinned? And you're even a good pastor. People expect me to sin. When I tell people I've sinned, they go, duh. You know? But guess what? We've all what? What does sin do to us? It does. It paralyzes us. I promise you, it paralyzes us. It paralyzes every one of us. Have you all noticed when you live in sin, you gotta always do what all the time? You got to look over your shoulder. How many of y'all have noticed that? If you're doing something you're not supposed to, what happens? You're always paranoid. When I'm going fast, I don't want to see the sheriff. Sheriff, I was paranoid the other night. I was coming home from the ball game. One of your deputies got behind me, and I even looked. I was going a speed limit, but I was sweating. Now, why was that? I'm a guilt-ridden man. And the only reason I slowed down is because I remember for some reason at the last football game of the season, there's always a deputy on 231 when I'm coming home. So I set it on cruise control at 55 because me and that deputy for the last 5 years have been having a ministry moment with each other out there on 231. And there he was behind me, and I was scared because guess what? I was looking at what I had done in the past instead of what could be done in the moment. Hold on. Everybody was looking at a paralyzed man in the past, and Peter was looking at the Son of God and what could happen in the moment. Any of y'all need to hear that beautiful message? What could happen in the moment? I like people that have been to Jesus school. You know, Peter looked down at his bracelet. What would Jesus do? No, he didn't have one of those. I mean, he knew what he'd do, and guess. But I find very few churches that would preach this like this. I mean, Lord have mercy, I live in a denomination that struggles with the speaking in tongues, much less paralyzed people walking. And here's the way they get away with it. Well, that was back then. Really? Y'all aren't that stupid, surely. Tell me, just say, we're not that stupid. Don't ever say back then, because if you say back then all of it happened back then. So you can't pick and choose your selective truths. Jesus is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that God, that one, that mercy, that forgiveness, that faith shall not change. Amen. I like it. We just gonna go ahead and have a revival. We need one. Y'all been sitting and staring long enough. Be glad when he's done, I'm going to get me a Arby's. Some of y'all can look down and see the last thing you need is a Arby's. You need some movement of the Lord. You need some healing, some hope. But guess what? Those of us that follow Christ, here's who I'm challenging today. Will we wake up and get the words of Jesus so believable in us? We could look at the paralyzed person and say, hey, Susie, roll up your mat, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. You know, I bet if somebody got out of a wheelchair this week, this place would be full next week. What do y'all think? I just got a hunch. Pastors wouldn't have to eat any goldfish. We wouldn't have to give away any kites or nothing like that. All that foolish stuff church used to do. Well, you know what? Pastor Don, guess what these brothers today, guess what y'all did? You got up. But nobody recognized it because we've been so low-key about it. Some of you church people freaked out when everybody started clapping at a baptism. Y'all know anything else better to clap about? Amen. Y'all know anything greater than that? You say, well, I've been to a few ball games. Nobody even remembers the score of those games. You know what they called old athletes? You know what you call old athletes? Old. But you know what you call a son of God? Forever. Never forgotten. Get up. Roll up your mat and what? Yeah, guess what they started doing? Walking in the name of Jesus. Well, some people heard about this. So the first thing today is guess what? God brings life. God brings life. Jesus brings life. Remember, he's in you. Now get up and what? Walk. Don't stay where you are. Well, this message of Peter's began to really resonate. And guess what? People started realizing God wants us to live. God wants us to get through. God is real. And so there was another situation that arose. Tabitha. Her Greek name is Dorcas. She was a good woman and she was always helping the poor. Here's a good woman that was helping the poor. And about the time she became sick and died. So here's a good woman that did what? Have y'all ever said that? Why is it when somebody good dies, everybody goes, I don't know how that happened. And when somebody kind of honorary dies, they go, well, they got what's coming to them. They should have. Good people die too. Y'all realize that? I mean, you can cook cakes, candies, and all that kind of stuff. You can be nice and sweet to people, and guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. That's why everybody needs Jesus. And she was a good woman. Scripture points that out to us in detail. She was always doing good and helping the poor. And about that time, she became sick and she died. Her body was already washed and placed in an upstairs room. Isn't that interesting? They had washed her because they could not bring her to life. Now, hold on. Don, you might want to write this one down. This is the problem with today's church. We'd rather wash than declare life. We want to get a few bad sins off of you, but we don't want you to get a totally new life. Did y'all realize you can quit drinking and go to hell? Huh? What's even worse, you'll be sober as you go. I mean, do you realize you can quit running around in your immorality and end up in hell? Because you never receive what? Life. It's not about the washing. It's about the living. Now, here's what this tells us, okay? We're to help people get over being paralyzed. He said to the paralytic, get up. Come on, Aeneas, get up and walk. And then he's going to say to Tabitha, it's really interesting how Jesus does things. He works through people. He works through you. I'm very serious about this today. Y'all are going to get edgy on me. Those of you that follow Jesus Christ, if you've never led anybody to the Lord, God help you on the day of judgment. You're not following Christ. I don't care if they baptized you, miticized you, giving you a certificate and tell you you know the Bible. Until you want to share it, you don't have a clue to what the Bible says. That's like running around in a boat without a propeller. Make a lot of noise, but don't get too far. Hello? You got to go do. You got to go be. You got to become. You ought to want to do the things of the Lord. Amen? What's this? If these guys right here, Klein, if y'all hadn't sung and practiced and loved Jesus, could we have ever heard this today? Y'all didn't just stand up there and go, well, we're going to try to sing. Thank God y'all didn't say that. That irritates me every time I hear that. Y'all ever been through that? Somebody, like, you know, stand in front of the church. Well, I can't sing. I just want to stand up, then sit down. Then they do this one. Well, I just hope it blesses you. It's not going to. Sit down. I want you to come up under the authority of God. God gave me a voice to release the paralyzed and to tell the dead they don't have to stay dead. So I'm going to sing you out of your paralysis and sing the glory of God that delivers us from death. Now somebody hear where God's taking us. Peter knew the heart of Jesus. He had seen Jesus release the paralyzed. He had seen Jesus. He went to Jesus University and he had seen Jesus say to dead people, what? Live. Now watch. You know what Peter does? He gets everybody out of the room. He had all these widows there and they were mourning and upset. And they were telling Peter what a good woman she was. And then he goes in to the room. Look what he does. He goes upstairs. Peter went with them and he arrived. They was taken upstairs. All the widows stood around him crying, showing him the robes and other clothes that Dorcas has made while she was still with them. They were showing Peter her good works. But who's Peter listening to? Jesus. I love this. Peter sent them all out of the room. Right there shows you he wasn't a TV evangelist. He didn't pull in the cameras. He didn't get out any anointed hankies. He didn't call from holy water for Jerusalem. He didn't jump up and down. He's not going to dribble around the ground. He's not going to go through all those shenanigans you see on TV. You know why? He's not there to manipulate. He's there to heal. Have you noticed how none of the healings in the Bible have shenanigans to go with them? I've told all these great healers, I don't understand why they don't go to the hospital. That's where the sick people are. I said, if you're good, brother, go shut them doctors down. So Peter took Dorcas to the TV studio as they set up for the miracle rally. Don't think so. He went upstairs, then guess what he did? Peter sent them all out of the room. What do you think about that? He wasn't there to put on a show. He was there to do what? What do you care about? I love this. He didn't care about those ladies seeing him. He cared about Dorcas receiving Jesus. Man, y'all get a heart like that, you will live past what you can do. Do you hear what I just said? You will live past what? What you can do. Peter is fixing to live past what he can do. He knows he can't bring life, but he knows who can. How many of y'all realize, every one of you, whether you realize it or not, y'all got Jesus up in you? Have you ever looked at Monday morning like this? I'm a miracle waiting to happen. Wow. Husbands, you need to tell your wives that in the morning. Honey, you married a miracle. Be careful. And wives, you need to, huh? Oh, you tell her that. All right, Jim, I like that. Brace this stuff. And you wives need to say, and honey, let me help you. You married the reality of God's presence. See what I'm saying? Hold on. Y'all believe this? Am I going on? Y'all believe this to be possible? I mean, I'm preaching on today about paralyzed people that walk and dead people that live. Is it true or does it just sound good? Superintendent, I believe it to be true. I believe Peter got everybody out of the room, and then what did he do? He knelt down and what? You know why we don't see a lot of life? We do little kneeling down. You'd think God was a short order cook. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, help me on this. Help me on that. You notice how very few of the disciples' prayers was help me, and most of their prayers was bless them. You notice how Jesus prayed bless them, and we pray what? Help me. If you've been saved, what more help do you need? You're headed to heaven. You're full of love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control are all realities and possibilities in your life. You can maximize everything you've been created to be in the grace of Jesus Christ. What more do you need? Because I'll tell you the truth, we're not using what we have. True or false? How many of y'all are using what you have? What if you did? So Peter got everybody out of the room. Look what he did. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, watch this, isn't this cool? He said, right? He went, alakazam, boom, in the name of Jesus, right? This is pretty cool. Tabitha, get up. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, when you're dead, what would you like to hear? Get up. When I'm dead, I hope I'm hearing the Spirit go, come on! I'm going, I'm coming. Huh? Get what? What did she do? She opened her eyes and seen Peter. She what? Y'all believe that happened? I do. I like it. Absolutely. Come on, Pastor. What do you think? Now, what about some of you skeptics? Well, I don't know if we can scientifically prove that. I can't scientifically prove why your wife married you. I can't scientifically prove why dogs like people. I can't scientifically prove a whole lot of things. True? Am I not telling the truth? Let me tell you what I can tell you. Get up. And she Guess what? This caused a disturbance in the city. What do y'all think would happen this week? Pastor Mark goes to the funeral home over at Kirby. He says, Kirby, get out of the room for just a minute. He says, Kim, get up. Kim hops out of the room, goes to see Kirby and says, not yet, and walks out. Now, Kirby would be crying for the loss of business, but how many of you all might be at church Sunday wondering what might go on next? This is the world we need again in faith. Jim, you believe it. Lord's told you to get up. The doctors told you you couldn't, and what happened? Janet, how many times they told you? More than once. And what did the Lord say? Get up. How many of y'all have heard of get up at least once? Huh? Well, just, I'll tell you this right now, Elizabeth and I thought our marriage was, we thought it was over. We married for 3 years and I did everything wrong. I did everything wrong. I didn't do as good. I wasn't a good husband. I was lousy. It was the facts. She should have felt bad because I was awful at being married. And guess what expert counselors, guess what they told us we ought to do? These guys are brilliant. They have a PhD to tell me this. Y'all aren't happy. That's $175. Duh. And here was their solution. I need a solution. Leave one another. See, the problem was, the reason I was miserable because I was being disobedient to the things that'll get you up. And once I became obedient to the things that'll get you up and get you released and bring you to life, then I could live in the things of God. Amen. You know what Peter did? He took her by the hand, then he called for the believers and the widows, and he presented her to them, what? Alive. Three things today. God calls people to life. Y'all got that? I want y'all to go live. I want you to wake up in this life. I feel it here today. Amen? We've sung about it today. There is a bridge. Bridge got a name, Jesus. There is a way. It has a name, Jesus. There is a glory. It has a name, who? And he's called us to be people of life. How many of y'all are people of life? Yeah. Y'all a little irritated today too? Go be it. You go, Pastor Steve, you are really serious. You expect us to lead somebody to the Lord every year if we claim to follow Jesus. Let me go over this again. Yes. I expect to see you in the baptistry. Why would I expect anything less? He said, well, I'll tell you what, I've been a Baptist all my life. There's your problem. Right there, you have confessed your problem. That's a good way out of your sin right there. Start confessing. Some of you need to come to the altar and say, Dear Lord, I apologize. I've been a Baptist and missed you. Amen. If I preached this in some Baptist churches, they'd kick me out that God's got the power to bring dead people to life. They'd say, well, Pastor Ayers, we believe theologically. I don't care what you believe theologically. I don't care what some stinking seminary told you. I don't want to hear from your book. I want to hear from the one that is risen. And the good news I have is the one who was crucified and who is risen. Guess what he tells dead people to do? And when he says live, guess what they do? They walk out. People unwrap them from their death clothes and they live on. I don't know about you, that's good news, amen. We worship a God that lives, and I hope that you will live out the life that is in you, amen. Stacy, it works, doesn't it? You got baptized last week, everything good? No harmful effects? Eyelids didn't fall out or anything like that, right? Some of y'all need to be baptized, you need to step up and do it. I'm getting this question now. Here's how come you talk about baptism all the time? I don't know, because the Bible does. Well, in my other Baptist churches, they didn't talk about baptism. That's because they're dead. They talk about potlucks. Didn't you look around a congregation? You can look around a congregation to see what people believe in. We tell our beliefs. Our beliefs eventually come out. Now, how many of y'all believe in life? How many of y'all believe that impossible things can be released, paralyzed things can be loosed? And dead things can come to life. You ought to believe in dead things coming to life. You saw two of them this morning. Isn't that right, boys? Yeah. Guess what you all profess this morning? Y'all profess this morning, I was dead in my sin, right? And now I'm alive in who?
Jesus.
Don, isn't it great that finally in the Baptist church, we can actually have fellowship between two communities of faith. We can work together to win the Lord.
Amen.
That the Lord might use us to win people to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care where you get baptized. I care that you get baptized. I care that you hear these words. Get up and walk. Live. Amen? Y'all ready for the altar? Get in the balcony up here. I see every one of y'all. You ain't hiding, Zacchaeus. Come on down. Hold on. God's the God of all of us here. Some of you are going to get saved today. That's awesome. Isn't it, Eric? I don't know about y'all, but I came to church today to see dead people live. What about you? I didn't get up this morning because it was a beautiful morning. I got up this morning because God got me up. And you know what God said? There's some that don't believe, but they can leave here what? Believing. There's some are paralyzed, but they don't have to stay that way. And so I want you to live today. Is that great? Y'all okay? I know I'm crazy. I've been crazy my whole life. I'm going to die crazy. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll receive it, God will take it the rest of the way. So Pastor Ayers, it's scary. It is. It's scary to live. I don't know about y'all, but I was scared when I got married. Weren't y'all scared when you got married? I was. I was scared when I was scared to death when they handed me a baby up there at the hospital and they said it's mine. And I looked at that dude and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm a father. I had a mullet and was a father. That's scary, especially for that child. God got us through it somehow. Y'all see what I'm saying? There are a lot of things that's scary. I was scared on March the 10th, 1991, when I stood up to be y'all's pastor. And I looked at about 30 folks, and they were looking back at me. And in my mind, I wasn't saying, thank you, Jesus. I was saying, Lord, have mercy, God. I've either heard you or this is the biggest blunder yet. And guess what? God said, you trust me. I'll release paralyzed things, and I'll bring dead things to what? Life. I saw it today. I'm not telling you something I didn't see today. I saw young men who were dead in their sins, who were saved the moment they asked Jesus in their life, but who testified to that salvation today through the obedience of baptism. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? How many of y'all need to get that baptism taken care of? Well, Pastor Steve, I love Jesus. Well, good. I didn't ask you if you love him. I asked you, have you repented of your sins? Have you believed in a cross? Have you invited him into your life to remake your life? That's salvation. You say, well, I believe the Lord exists. Good. So the demons. Boy, that's powerful. Well, I believe there's other religions. I understand. I'm very aware of other religions. I'm not asking you that question. I'm asking you this question. Do you believe Jesus will live in you?
Yes.
Justin, that's a different question, isn't it? Do you believe in who?
Jesus.
All right, y'all been wonderful today. Let's stand together. Let's keep listening. Now, just listen. Listen, nothing else but this altar for this moment. Nothing else but this altar for this moment. Everybody needs to listen. Follower and yet to follow. Now, listen. Listen to God. Let God draw you to his grace right here. Listen. If you need to receive Jesus right now, he's got your attention. He wants you to live. That's the message. He wants you to what? Maybe you're paralyzed. Maybe there's a sin that the world's told you is too big. It'll never get healed. Walk. Let the Lord speak, walk. Maybe you just know that you're not a believer yet and you feel dead inside. Tell him right now, Lord Jesus, I hear you. I feel you. I'm listening. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Forgive me. Guess what Jesus is going to do? Here's all I'm going to tell you. You want proof? I've seen thousands of people, literally. It's not preacher talk for me. I've seen thousands of people ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, and I've never seen Jesus say no to anybody. I've also seen thousands of people walk out that back door who absolutely turned away from Jesus, and unfortunately, I've seen a few of them die without Jesus. It's the most painful moment in my life. And I don't want any of you to leave this earth without Jesus. If you had not been baptized, I'm going to be straight up. It's the only way I know how to be. I don't know how you can say you're following Jesus when you won't do the first thing he asks you to do. Well, I'm embarrassed. He was crucified. Well, I feel uncomfortable. They put him in a box for 3 days. Well, it might hurt me. They whipped him so that you and I could live. So now it's time to live. Amen. Come on, church. We're going to have Pastor Jamie. We're going to have people meet Christ right here. Pastor Jeff, they're going to meet Christ right now. They already met him. Well, I know you believe this, Jeff. Long before we got up this morning, Jesus was already here. Jesus brought some of you here. You didn't even invite yourself. Nobody invites himself to Jesus' church. He draws you to his church so that you might what? Live. Has it been clear today? Hey, come on, my friend, listen. If you a man is struggling with faith today, I ask you in the name of Jesus to be forgiven. Pastor Ayers, I thought following Jesus was for women. I know, I'm sorry. It's not. It's for people that are dead so they can come to life, male, female. Faithful is who God's looking for. Who? Faithful. Lord Jesus, we ask right now for those that are confessing their faith that you just confirm with them that their sin is forgiven. Lord, we ask right now that the power of the resurrection, Lord, I'm not even sure what I'm asking for, but Lord, we'll accept whatever it is, that the power of the resurrection would so encamp itself in this moment that we must do what you ask us to do, Lord. And so, God, I thank you for those that believe and follow. Now may we bring your life to this present moment of history in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Pastor Jamie, in the name of who? In the name of Jesus, you are being saved. In the name of Jesus, you will be baptized. In the name of Jesus, when the trumpet sounds and that final moment arrives, in the name of Jesus, your knee will bow, my knee will bow, and we will confess he is Lord, living and alive. Come on now. This altar's open. Come on. There's healing here. There's life here. There's hope here. There's peace here. It's open now. Come on, church. Come on as you come. Don't delay. Spirits in this house. Spirits in this house. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.